Ego patricius peccator, rusticissimus et minimus omnium fidelium, et contemptibilissimus apud plurimus, patrem habui.
My name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person, and the least of all believers. I am looked down upon by many. My father was Calpurnius. He was a deacon.
His father was Potitus, a priest,
who lived at Banavem Tabernii. His home was near there, and that is where I was taken prisoner. I was about 16 at the time. At that time, I did not know the true God. I was taken into captivity in Ireland along with thousands of others. We deserved this because we had gone away from God and did not keep his commandments. We would not listen to our priests, who advised us about how we could be saved. The Lord brought his strong anger upon us and scattered us among many nations, even to the ends of the earth.
It was among foreigners that it was seen how little I was. It was there that the Lord opened up my awareness of my lack of faith. Even though it came about late, I recognized my failings. So I turned with all my heart to the Lord my God, and he looked down on my lowliness and had mercy on my youthful ignorance. He guarded me before I knew him, and before I came to wisdom and could distinguish between good and evil. He protected me and consoled me as a father does his son.
That is why I cannot be silent.
Nor would it be good to do so.
About such great blessings and such a gift that the Lord so kindly bestowed in the land of my captivity. This is how we can repay such blessings when our lives change and we come to know God, to praise and bear witness to his great wonders before every nation under heaven.
Although I am imperfect in many ways, I want my brothers and relations to know what I'm really like so that they can see what it is that inspires my life.
This is why I have long thought to write.
But up to now I have hesitated.
Because I feared what people would say. This is because I did not learn as others did, who drank in equally well both the law and the sacred writings, and never had to change their way of speaking since childhood, but always grew better and better at it. For me, however, my speech and words have been translated into a foreign language, as it can be easily seen from my writings, the standard of the instruction and learning that I have had. As it is said,
the wise person is known through his speech, and also understanding and knowledge and the teaching of truth.
Ecclesiasticus 4:29.
So, I am first of all a simple country person, a refugee and unlearned. I do not know how to provide for the future. But this I know for certain, that before I was brought low, I was like a stone lying deep in the mud. Then he who is powerful came, and in his mercy pulled me out
and lifted me up
and placed me on the very top of the wall. That is why I must shout aloud in return to the Lord for such great good deeds of his, here and now and forever, which the human mind cannot measure.
So be amazed, all you people, great and small, who fear God. You well-educated people in authority, listen and examine this carefully. Who was it who called one as foolish as I am from the middle of those who are seen to be wise and experienced in law and powerful in speech and in everything? If I am most looked down upon, yet he inspired me
before others,
so that I would faithfully serve the nations with awe and reverence and without blame, the nations to whom the love of Christ brought me. His gift was that I would spend my life,
if I were worthy of it,
to serving them in truth and with humility to the end. In the knowledge of this faith in the Trinity, and without letting the dangers prevent it, it is right to make known the gift of God and his eternal consolation. It is right to spread abroad the name of God, faithfully and without fear, so that even after my death I may leave something of value to the many thousands of my brothers and sisters, the children whom I baptized in the Lord.
I didn't deserve at all that the Lord would grant such great grace, after hardships and troubles, after captivity, and after so many years among that people. It was something which,
when I was young,
I never hoped for or even thought of. After I arrived in Ireland, I tended sheep every day, and I prayed frequently during the day. More and more the love of God increased, and my sense of awe before God. Faith grew, and my spirit was moved, so that in one day I would pray up to 100 times, and at night perhaps the same. I even remained in the woods and on the mountain, and I would rise to pray before dawn,
in snow
and ice
and rain.
I never felt the worse for it, and I never felt lazy. As I realize now, the spirit was burning in me at that time. It was there one night in my sleep that I heard a voice saying to me,
"You have fasted well. Very soon you will return to your native country."
Again, after a short while, I heard someone saying to me,
"Look, your ship is ready."
It was not nearby, but a good 200 miles away. I had never been to the place, nor did I know anyone there. So I ran away then, and left the man with whom I had been for 6 years. It was in the strength of God that I went, God who turned the direction of my life to good. I feared nothing while I was on the journey to that ship. The day I arrived, the ship was about to leave the place. I said I needed to set sail with them, but the captain was not at all pleased. He replied unpleasantly and angrily,
"Don't you dare try to come with us."
When I heard that, I left them and went back to the hut where I had lodgings. I began to pray while I was going, and before I even finished the prayer, I heard one of them shout aloud at me,
"Come quickly, those men are calling you."
I turned back right away, and they began to say to me,
"Come, we'll trust you. Prove you're our friend in any way you wish."
That day, I refused to suck up to them because of my reverence for God. They were pagans, and I hoped they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is how I got to go with them, and we set sail right away.
After 3 days, we made it to land, and then for 28 days, we travelled through a wilderness. Food ran out, and great hunger came over them. The captain turned to me and said,
"What about this, Christian? You tell us that your God is great and all-powerful. Why can't you pray for us, since we're in a bad state with hunger? There's no sign of us finding a human being anywhere."
Then I said to them with some confidence,
"Turn in faith with all your hearts to the Lord my God, because nothing is impossible for him, so that he may put food in your way, even enough to make you fully satisfied. He has an abundance everywhere."
With the help of God, this is actually what happened. A herd of pigs appeared in the way before our eyes. They killed many of them, and there they remained for 2 nights, and were fully restored, and had their fill of the pig's meat. Many of them had grown weak and left half alive by the way. After this, they gave the greatest of thanks to God, and I was honoured in their eyes. From this day on, they had plenty of food. They also found some wild honey and offered some of it to me. However, one of them said,
"This honey has been offered in sacrifice."
Thanks be to God, from then on, I tasted none of it. While we were still on the journey, the Lord provided food and fire and shelter every day until we met some people on the 10th day. As I mentioned above, we travelled for 28 days through the wilderness. On the very night we met people, we ran out of food.
A few years later, I was again with my parents in Britain. They welcomed me as a son, and they pleaded with me that, after all the many tribulations I had undergone, I should never leave them again. It was while I was there that I saw,
in a vision in the night,
a man whose name was Victoricus, coming, as it were, from Ireland, with so many letters they could not be counted. He gave me one of these, and I read the beginning of the letter.
The voice of the Irish people.
While I was reading out the beginning of the letter, I thought I heard at that moment the voice of those who were beside the wood of Falkland, near the Western Sea. They called out, as it were, with one voice,
"We beg you, holy boy, to come and walk again among us."
This touched my heart deeply, and I could not read any further. I woke up then. Thanks be to God, after many years the Lord granted them what they were calling for. I have said enough.
But I must take care not to hide the gift of God, which he has generously given us in the land of my captivity. It was then that I looked for him with all my strength, and there I found him, and he protected me from all evils. This is what I believe, on account of his spirit living and working in me to this very day.
I'm proud to tell again of this.
God knows, if it were some other person who had said this to me, perhaps I would have said nothing because of the love of Christ. So I'll never stop giving thanks to my God who kept me faithful in the time of my temptation. I can today, with confidence, offer my soul to Christ my Lord as a living sacrifice. He is the one who defended me in all my difficulties. I can say,
Who am I, Lord, or what is my calling, that you have worked with me with such divine presence? This is how I came to praise and magnify your name among the nations all the time, wherever I am, not only in good times, but in the difficult times too.
Whatever comes about for me, good or bad, I ought to accept them equally and give thanks to God. He has shown me that I can put my faith in him without wavering and without end. However ignorant I am, he has heard me, so that in these late days I can dare to undertake such a holy and wonderful work. In this way I can imitate,
somewhat,
those whom the Lord foretold would announce his gospel in witness to all nations before the end of the world. This is what we see has been fulfilled.
Look, we are witnesses that the gospel has been preached right out to the point beyond which there is no one. It's a long story to tell each and every deed of mine, or even parts of it. I'll make it short as I tell of how the good God often freed me from slavery and from 12 dangers which threatened my life, as well as from hidden dangers and from things which I have no words
for. I am greatly in debt to God. He gave me such great grace that through me many people should be born again in God and brought to full life. Also that clerics should be ordained everywhere for this people who have lately come to believe and who the Lord has taken from the ends of the earth. This is just what he promised in the past through his prophet. The nations will come to you from the ends of the earth and they will say, how false are the idols our fathers got for themselves, and they are no use whatever. And again, I have put you as a light to the nations, that you may be their salvation.
So I want to give thanks to God without ceasing. He frequently forgave my lack of wisdom and my negligence, and more than once did not become very angry with me, the one who was meant to be his helper. I was not quick to accept what he showed me, and so the Spirit prompted me. The Lord was merciful to me 1,000,000 times, because he saw in me that I was ready, but that I did not know what I should do about the state of my life. There were many who forbade this mission. They even told stories among themselves behind my back, and they said,
Why does he put himself in danger among hostile people who do not know God?
It was not that they were malicious. They just did not understand, as I myself can testify, since I was just an unlearned country person. Indeed, I was not quick to recognize the place.
So I shall make a return to him for all that he has given to me. But what can I say, or what can I promise to my Lord? There is nothing I have that is not his gift to me. But he knows the depth of my heart, my very gut feelings. He knows that it is enough that I desire very much, and I'm ready for this, that he would grant to me to drink of his chalice.
Again and again, I briefly put before you the words of my confession. I testify in truth and in great joy of heart before God and his holy angels that I never had any other reason for returning to that nation from which I had earlier escaped except the gospel and God's promises.
I pray for those who believe in and have reverence for God. Some of them may happen to inspect or come upon this writing, which Patrick, a sinner without learning, wrote in Ireland. May none of them ever say that whatever little I did or made known to please God was done through ignorance. Instead, you can judge and believe in all truth that it was a gift of God.
This is my confession before I die. Et haec est confessio mea ante quam moriar.